If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and Proverbs chapter 9 this morning. One has said, wisdom is to exercise sound judgment that's based on understanding and knowledge, so as to pursue a proper course of action. The writer continues, true wisdom is to perceive the nature of this world as created by God and to live in accord with it. In other words, wisdom is getting tuned in to God's frequency for life and living in that frequency. We've entitled our series of messages through Proverbs, Get Wisdom. And this morning, I would remind you of our agenda. It's to get tuned in to God's frequency for life. It's to live more and better in that frequency. In fact, even never wavering or wandering from that frequency. God, in His graciousness, in His benevolence, in His love, in His kindness, in His goodness for us, He has ordained for us. I believe that with all of my heart, that God has ordained for you and me. God has laid out for us. God has destined for us the good life, the good path, the good way. Wisdom reveals to us that way, that path, that life. Wisdom reveals to us how to get on that and stay on that. No wonder then our need for wisdom, and no wonder then our pursuit of it this morning for previous weeks and still a few more weeks to come. Proverbs, it's wisdom's word. It's wisdom's way. And if we need wisdom, and if we're going to pursue wisdom, it's for sure the good place for us to start. So our study this morning, today, bringing us to chapters 8 and 9. First, man's wisdom. I don't know if you've enjoyed these as much as I've enjoyed looking them up. It's been fun to research and read man's proverbs. Different countries, different cultures, how entertaining it's been to consider how people think people ought best to live. Some making you realize, no wonder humanity's in such a mess. Others making you to think how better off we'd be if we actually did that and lived like that. So this morning, from Spain, it is better to conceal one's knowledge than to reveal one's ignorance. Think about that for a moment. It's probably true. Better to conceal your knowledge than to reveal your ignorance. If you're in a conversation and all of a sudden you realize it's a coin toss, am I going to reveal my ignorance or am I going to reveal my knowledge in what I'm about to say? Remember, it's okay to reveal your knowledge, and it's certainly okay to hide your ignorance. Don't be afraid to be silent in those moments. From Uganda, how true this is. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large numbers. I appreciate it, but actually in my own life, I've discovered it doesn't even need to be in large numbers. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in large numbers. God's word and God's wisdom this morning. Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city at the entrance, she cries aloud. Listen to what wisdom says. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and all nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth at the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary, so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. A few things to make note of here through Proverbs chapter 8 and 9. The first thing that I would draw your attention to is this truth and this reality stated clearly at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 8 and the beginning as well of Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom calls out. Wisdom is calling out to you. Wisdom is calling out to me. Listen to me this morning. Wisdom is not silent. Wisdom is constantly calling to us. And notice as you work your way through these first verses, look at them in your Bible. Verse 6, wisdom has worthy things to say. verse 10 and 11, and verse 19 as well. Wisdom has valuable things to say. Wisdom is more precious. We can just stop right there. Wisdom is more precious than anything. We don't need to go any further. Anything that you add to that statement is, of course, going to be true. In Proverbs, Solomon says it this way: wisdom is more precious than silver, more precious than gold, than rubies, more precious than anything. Wisdom is more precious. Wisdom is better. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10 from the Message: prefer my life disciplines over chasing after money, and God knowledge over a lucrative career. For wisdom is better than all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed any imaginable bonus. Proverbs makes abundantly clear the value of wisdom. And I would just encourage you, as we read it together, even in fact, as you would read it on your own, as we would study it together and you would study it on your own, I would encourage you, make note of all the verses that speak of wisdom's value. Wisdom is calling out. And what wisdom has to say is valuable stuff. What wisdom has to say, worthy things for us to listen to. Wisdom's call is to live in what's right. That's verse 6. Look at verse 7. Wisdom's call, what's true. And verse 8, what's just. Verse 8 again. Wisdom's call is to walk in and on the good path, not the crooked nor the perverse one. Wisdom calls out. And her words and what she says, her instruction, her insight, her way, all of it, what wisdom does and what wisdom brings. Verse 9, it is faultless. Wisdom calls out. She calls out to you. She calls out to me. Verse 5, her call is to the simple, that they might gain prudence. Prudence is good sense, forethought, carefulness, caution, discretion. In chapter 9 and verses 3 and 4, wisdom sends out her maids and calls from the highest point of the city that those who lack judgment might come and hear what she has to say. In verse 5, her call is to the foolish that they might gain understanding. Wisdom's call is to transformation. Wisdom wants to change you. Wisdom will change you. Simple no longer. Foolish no longer. Lacking judgment not anymore. Wisdom wants to influence. Wisdom wants to affect. Wisdom wants to change even every aspect of your life. Wisdom will change how you talk. Wisdom will change how you think. Wisdom will change how you respond when you're angry. Wisdom will change how you respond when you're offended. Wisdom will change how you do marriage. Wisdom will change you, husband. Wisdom will change you, wife, and how you relate to each other in marriage and in marriage family. Wisdom will make you a better parent. Wisdom will change how you parent. Wisdom wants to have that kind of effect on all of us. Full disclosure this morning, you let wisdom in, and in a sense, it's going to turn your life upside down. Really, according to Proverbs and God's word, we would be better off saying it this way: it's going to turn everything right side up. You need wisdom. You want wisdom. Surely all of us do, but we need to understand what it is we're really wanting, what it is that's going to happen when wisdom comes. At the conclusion of this message, in just a few minutes, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to give us wisdom. You have to understand this morning, when you're praying that God gives you wisdom, you're praying that God would change every aspect of your life. Because that's what wisdom will do. That's the transformation. That's the change that wisdom wants to bring. Wisdom calls out. In chapter 9, we're made aware of this truth. So does folly. So does foolishness. Look at the comparison between the two. Look at it in your Bible, chapter 9 and verse 3. Wisdom does what? She sends out her maids and she calls from the highest point of the city. But then consider this loud, undisciplined, and without knowledge folly. Look at it in verse 14. What does she do? She sits at the door of her house. Where again? On a seat at the highest point of the city, doing what? Calling out. Verse 4, wisdom invites the simple to come to her and leave their simple ways. Look at verse 16. What does folly do? Folly calls out to the simple. To do what? To be changed from the simple ways? No, to continue on in those simple ways. You don't have to leave this way. There is no better path for you to get on. You don't have to change. You can stay just where you are. You can stay just how you are. I think maybe this caught my eye and my attention. This is true of life. Life is filled with decisions. Life is determined by the decisions that we make. Just think of it. Even every moment of every day, a decision that we're making. You've made a gazillion decisions already this morning. What time to get up? What to wear? What to do before you came to church? Have breakfast or no breakfast? Come to church, not come to church. Come to this church, go to another church. On your way to church, listen to the radio, don't listen to the radio. Conversation with your spouse, conversation with your... You have already made a host of decisions, and the decisions you've made have determined what kind of morning it's been for you, have determined how the morning has been and what's been included in the morning. Decisions. What we'll say, how we'll respond, what we'll do, how we'll spend our time, what book we'll read, what channel we'll listen to, what show we'll watch, what we'll think about, who we'll go and talk to. And I don't mean to over-spiritualize things. Many of those decisions may very well have a little impact on the big picture of your story. On your way to church, you decided Tim Hortons for coffee instead of McDonald's. Or you decided McDonald's instead of Tim Hortons. Probably not going to make a huge difference, probably not going to influence much of heaven or earth, that decision. Our lives, though, are made up of a number of choices. And here it is. For each of those choices, at all of those crossroads, decide this, decide that, there will be two voices always calling to you. The voice of wisdom, the voice of folly. In every decision, wisdom is calling, but so is folly. I'm going to take you this morning ahead in chapter 8 to verse 33. Look at it. You see it in scripture. Do not ignore wisdom. Wisdom is calling. Folly is calling. Wisdom is calling. Foolishness is calling. Wisdom is saying, do this. Folly is saying, do that. Make note of verse 33 this morning. Do not ignore wisdom. Maybe it's one of the difficulties related to wisdom. We're going to see it in just a moment. Wisdom is easily found, but maybe the difficulty is in us learning to recognize wisdom when she shows up and learning to listen to her above the voice of folly that shouts to us as well. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 4 from the Message. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Come with me. Oh, come have dinner with me. I prepared a wonderful spread. Fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. Verse 13. Then there's this other woman, brazen, empty-headed, frivolous, She sits on the front porch of her house on Main Street, and as people walk by minding their own business, calls out, "Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Steal off with me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life." But they don't know about all the skeletons in her closet, and all her guests end up in hell. Again, wisdom calling, folly calling. Don't ignore wisdom. Back to verse 1 again from the Message. Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She's taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection, right in the city square where the traffic is thickest. She shouts, "You, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here on the streets. Listen, you idiots, learn good sense. You blockheads, shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. You'll only hear true and right words from my mouth. Not one syllable will be twisted or skewed. Prefer my life disciplines over chasing after money and God knowledge over a lucrative career, for wisdom is better. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her." Wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is shouting to you and to me worthy things, invaluable things, and life-changing things, from foolishness to wisdom things, right and true and just things, good things. Folly is calling. Calling us to ignore all that and enjoy a good time with her. Listen to me this morning. Don't ignore wisdom's call. Don't ignore wisdom in every decision. Maybe not the Tim Hortons or McDonald's for coffee one, but in every decision, recognize that one is the voice of wisdom and the other is the voice of folly. One will lead you on the pathway of life. One will lead you to death and straight to hell. Be careful that you listen to the right voice. Hear the voice of wisdom. Don't ignore wisdom's call. Verse 12 and even on and all the way to verse 36, number of things that wisdom walks with. I've called this, and it's there in your notes, wisdom's companions. Proverbs is going to make abundantly clear the value of wisdom, in part as it reveals all that sort of travels with wisdom, all that comes with wisdom. I like this as the thought. When you get wisdom, you don't just get wisdom. You never just get wisdom. You get wisdom and all her friends. Wisdom's companions. Look at it in your Bible. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell together with what? With prudence. Again, good sense, forethought. That's being able to see the end. We've talked about that. That's carefulness in life decisions. That's a caution in life decisions. Look at verse 12 again. Wisdom's companions are knowledge and discretion. See, you don't just get wisdom. You get prudence. You get knowledge. You get discretion. Verse 14, counsel and sound judgment, understanding and power. The Message says it this way: good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I am both insight and the virtue to live it out. There's power that comes with wisdom. Power is a companion of wisdom. See, wisdom will show you the way to go, but you're also going to need wisdom's friend called power, so that you have the strength to make the wisdom choice instead of the folly and the foolish one. Verse 18, riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity are wisdom's companions. In verse 18, wealth and glory accompany me, also substantial honor and a good name. Verse 20, when wisdom rules your life in the land, there's righteousness and there's justice. Verse 21, wisdom's companion is wealth. Interesting to consider, isn't it? To be wealthy, you might not need more money. You might just need more wisdom. Wisdom will keep you from the foolish spending. You'll be wealthy then. Wisdom will keep you from spending more than you have. You'll be wealthy then. Wisdom will help you to plan for your financial future. You'll be wealthy then. Wisdom bestows wealth and will make your treasury to be full. Verse 32, look at it in scripture. Wisdom always travels with the companion of blessing. Verse 33 says the same thing. Verse 35, wisdom's companion is favor and life. The Message puts it this way, handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life. Once more, verse 33 is going to leave us with the instruction, don't ignore wisdom. Ultimately, listen to me, you bring ruin to your life, even destruction and death when you do, but as well, you deprive your life of all that would call itself a friend of wisdom. You miss wisdom, you miss everything. You get wisdom, you never just get wisdom. You get wisdom, and all her friends, and her friends are good. Verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. We read it in chapter 9 and verse 10 this morning. We read it as well a number of weeks ago. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We've considered what it is, this fear of the Lord. It's not a cowering away from Him in fear. It's not an avoiding Him because you're afraid of Him. It's a reverential awe and honor of Him. It's an awareness of His greatness. It's an awareness of His presence. It's an awareness of His praise and worship worthiness. And to this list and that definition of what it is to fear the Lord this morning from Proverbs chapter 8, we also add this. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. That's where wisdom begins. I don't want us to miss this morning. If you're attracted to evil, if you're drawn to evil, if you're entertained by evil, if you do evil, if you let evil linger in your heart and in your mind, if you talk evil, if you act evil, wisdom is going to then be most elusive to you because wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Chapter 8 and verse 13, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord that is hating what is evil. Again, I don't want us to miss it. Many of us would feel ourselves exempted from the evil word. Well, Pastor, I'm not evil. I don't do evil things. Let me change the word lest we miss it. Evil is sin. You want to qualify, well, the white lie is just a little white lie. It might be a sin, but it's not evil. I'm telling you, that mindset is exempt and excluded from all of Scripture. It's just not there. You sin. No matter what scale you and your humanity or we in our culture might want to call that sin, might want to label it by way of its power, its importance, its, oh, that's just terrible, but hey, that's not so bad. Sin is sin. Sin is evil. So let me change the message this morning. If you don't hate sin, if you're attracted to sin, if you're entertained by sin, if you're drawn to sin, if you're letting sin linger in your heart, if you're thinking sin, talking sin, acting in sin, wisdom is going to be most elusive to you. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and though not the only thing that it is, certainly part of what it is, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Verse 17, I love this. I've given this verse this description. Wisdom is easily found. Wisdom's response to our pursuit. If you love wisdom, you see it. Look at it in verse 17. What does wisdom do to you? If you love wisdom, wisdom loves you. And if you seek for wisdom, wisdom will let herself be found by you. I like it expressed this way. If you love wisdom, and if you sincerely set your heart on seeking after wisdom, you won't have to worry about finding wisdom. You know why? Because wisdom will find you. When you decide this morning, I love wisdom. I want to seek after wisdom. You may not know it, you may not recognize it, but on the authority of Proverbs chapter 8, I would tell you this morning, wherever wisdom resides, your name has come into her mind. And she said, you know what? I love him. I love her. You know what? I'm going to go find him. I'm going to go find her. When you love wisdom and you set your heart to seeking her, you won't have to worry about finding wisdom, because wisdom will find you. Verse 22 begins this little bit of lengthy description. Wisdom there with God even before the earth began. And we're going to get to this in just a second. But what this portion of Proverbs is, it's Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God that was with God before even time began. We'll read it in just a moment in that context. Hold that thought, though, because I think it speaks to us this as well. It's for sure the secondary message here, but I think still part of the message. Wisdom is timeless. Think about that for a moment. Wisdom is timeless. Culture changes. Yes, it does. Things change. Yes, they do. How people do things change, but wisdom doesn't. Wisdom will sustain you through the change. Wisdom will be the constant through the change. This is true. We need wisdom in a never-ending supply. We never stop seeking and asking for wisdom. But let me put that in this context this morning as we consider the timelessness of wisdom. Think of it this way. Get wisdom today and you'll be set for tomorrow. But Pastor, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I don't know how culture will change tomorrow. I don't know how people today are different than they were 20 years ago. I don't know how people will be different tomorrow. But what Scripture reveals to us, it doesn't matter how culture will change. It doesn't matter how people will change. Wisdom is timeless. Get wisdom now. You'll have to keep getting wisdom, but get wisdom now. Get wisdom at the start of this year. We call it 2019, and you'll have wisdom for living the good life in every year, in any year, no matter what number name it's given. I think that's important for us. Our culture has become a very sexualized one. Sexual purity has been compromised, mocked, ridiculed, deemed outdated and irrelevant. Culture has maybe changed. Wisdom hasn't. The adulterer's way, the promiscuous, the immoral way, it's still the moron's way. Our power and opportunity to communicate has increased exponentially. We can call people. Used to be we just write letters. We could still write letters. We can call, we can text, we can email, we can post things on our Facebook wall. Culture has changed. It's changed how we communicate. Wisdom hasn't. Listen to me this morning. Gossip's way is still the moron's way. The harsh word, the retaliatory word is still the wrong word. Wisdom says so. Wisdom said so then. And wisdom is timeless. Wisdom doesn't change. The real message here, it's true. It's Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let me read it to you this morning. Proverbs chapter 8. Read with me in your Bible as I go through. I'm going to change though the word. You'll see it as we do. Verse 27. Jesus was there when God established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. Jesus was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. Jesus was there when he set the limits of the sea so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off the earth's foundations. Jesus was the architect at God's side. He was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy Jesus was with the world he created. How he rejoiced with the human family. Verse 32. And so, my children, listen to Jesus, for all who follow his ways are joyful. Verse 33, Listen to his instruction and be wise. Do you see it? Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to Jesus, watching for him daily at the gates, waiting for him outside the home. For whoever finds Jesus finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss Jesus injure themselves. All who hate him love death. The message says it this way: bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me, awake and ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work. When you find me, you find life, real life, to say nothing of God's good pleasure. But if you wrong me, you damage your very soul. When you reject me, you're flirting with death. We read it, considered it a number of times, still once more this morning, verse 33. Do not ignore wisdom. In doing that, you ignore Jesus. Don't ignore Jesus. Proverbs 9 and verse 7. We're introduced to the mocker who doesn't handle instruction or rebuke very well. There's a clear message here for us. Be careful who you spend time arguing with. Hey, that's not the best word. Before you commit to the correction and rebuke, consider who you're dealing with. I want to bring the message though to you, because none of us in the room are perfect, meaning on occasion, we're going to be the ones receiving the rebuke, receiving the correction. I know our thought is to read Proverbs chapter 7, 8, and 9 and think, no wonder, never worked me talking with that guy. He's a mocker. He's a moron. He's wicked. I knew it all along. No wonder he didn't listen to me. No wonder she didn't listen when I told her that wasn't the way. You got to stop doing that. I see now why they didn't take my especially good advice. No wonder we don't get along anymore. Easy for us to do that. This morning, I'm going to turn the tables on you. But who is it that's come to you and walked away recognizing you did not respond very well to the rebuke, to the correction? What do people get from you when they correct you? What do people get when they rebuke you? What do they get in return? Here in Proverbs chapter 9, insult? Abuse? I hope not, because you have to understand, you can read it as well as I can. That doesn't speak very well of you. See, we want to blame them. Well, I don't know who they are to think they can come and talk to me like that. I don't know what gave them the right to find out what was wrong with me and come talk. See, we immediately want to put it, they're wrong, they're at fault. But Proverbs chapter 9, if you can't handle correction and you can't handle rebuke, the fault is not with the one bringing it, the fault is with you. So this morning, how well do you respond? Is it with insult, abuse, or love and gratitude? Think of that for a moment. Love and gratitude when corrected and rebuked. Wisdom will tell you to respond like that. And you, what do you get? When people bring correction into your life, when they bring the rebuke to you, do you get angry, offended, bothered? Or do you get wiser still? Do you add to your learning? As I think of it, and maybe especially in light of our culture today, this is it. This is probably for all of us the real measure, the real test of our wisdom. How we respond when corrected and when rebuked, when told that we are wrong. Culture tells us you fight back, you hit back, you treat correction and rebuke as an attack, and you in turn respond in like kind. When attack, you attack. When attack, you attack back. Harder and harsher. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 7 from the message. If you reason with an arrogant cynic, you'll get slapped in the face, confront bad behavior, and get a kick in the shins. So don't waste your time on a scoffer. All you'll get for your pain is abuse. But this is our study of Proverbs. To learn this, not what culture tells you to do or has told you to do, but rather what wisdom tells you to do. And wisdom says this: but if you correct those who care about life, that's different. They'll love you for it. I wonder, could we here at New Life practice that. Hey, brother, I don't know how else to say this, but you're flat out wrong. Oh, man, I love you. Thanks for telling me that. Are you kidding me? We might be the only church. They might write books about us, do news stories. You can go to that church, tell everybody what's wrong with them, and all they want to do is love you back more and better than they ever did before. Sounds crazy. You know what it sounds? Sounds foolish. You want to know the truth? It's actually wisdom's way. When corrected, when rebuked, verse 9, save your breath for the wise. They'll be wiser for it. Tell good people what you know. They'll profit from it. Can I encourage you this morning? Be wise when receiving rebuke. Be wise. You have to understand this morning once more, none of us are perfect. That means all of us need correction. And though we would like to think God's the only one that ever corrects us, in fact, God has put us in the community of family, believers, brothers and sisters. Can I encourage you as it relates to my philosophy on ministry? If there's not rebuke and correction coming to your heart from behind this pulpit is being used inappropriately. There ought to be a sense, even every Sunday, some rebuke, some correction. Some, oh no, I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be doing that. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be acting that way. And there will always be the option to walk out offended and upset. But there'll also always be the option to love what you hear in this place. Can I tell you this morning, if you're reading God's word and there's not correction and rebuke coming to your life, shaping, forming, molding you more and more into the image of Jesus, I'm just going to tell you, you're not reading it right. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. That's his role. Mandated in Scripture, Jesus sends the Spirit in part, not the only reason, but in part, that he might convict us and lead us in the way of righteousness. Listen, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And if the Spirit isn't speaking some conviction, I'm telling you, it's not because he's not talking, it's because you're not listening. We need the correction. We need the rebuke. All of us in this room, no, we've messed up, said things we shouldn't said, talked ways we shouldn't talk, done things we shouldn't have done. We understand it. The problem is, in light of it, none of us still want to receive any correction or rebuke. We don't want to hear that. Sometimes we don't even want to hear it from God, not his word, not this pulpit, and especially not a brother or sister. But wisdom says, if you're wise, you'll handle the correction and rebuke most well, properly. Oh, I love you, brother, for that. Thank you for the word that would save me from death and hell and set me again on the path of life. You've saved me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If it's anything except love and gratitude with which you respond to rebuke and correction. I'm just going to encourage you this morning. I don't know how else to say it. You need to check your heart and to see whether or not it's more the wisdom that rules there or more the folly and foolishness. Finally, this morning, verse 12, I leave you with this. If you're wise, wisdom will reward you. That's the message of Scripture. That's the truth of God's word. Wisdom will reward you. Can I take you back to what we already mentioned this morning? Love wisdom, seek after wisdom sincerely with your heart. Wisdom will find you. And here we discover not only will wisdom find you, wisdom will reward you. The Living Bible says it this way, I, wisdom, will make the hours of your day more profitable and the years of your life more fruitful. Wisdom will make you to be profitable, and wisdom will make you to be fruitful. Don't ignore wisdom. This morning, get wisdom. You know our conclusion. First, the questions. What do you see in Proverbs 8 and 9? From these words of wisdom, what is the Spirit speaking to you? Number 3, from our reading today, wisdom and folly are both calling out to you. So my question, of all the questions that could be asked of us this morning. That's why 1 and 2, what do you see? What's the Spirit speaking to you? But of all the questions that could be asked, I'm going to ask this one. Wisdom and folly are calling. Which one are you listening to? Which one are you following? Maybe this morning the Spirit would make us to aware we've been following folly's voice. We've been following folly's way. And the Spirit would speak to us, you didn't hear when wisdom called. You heard foolishness instead. You're on the wrong road. And the Spirit would bring the correction and the rebuke. That's question 4. Maybe this morning you would recognize you need to learn to better respond and better handle the rebuke and correction in your life. It's the mark of wisdom. If you want wisdom, if you want to be considered wise, you're going to have to learn to respond in those moments with love and gratitude rather than insult and abuse. Do you need to work more on that today? Can I ask you this morning, how are you going to prepare yourself for the next rebuke? How are you going to ready yourself to respond better? And to respond with wisdom. I imagine some of us this morning are thinking at the time that we were rebuked or we were corrected and we did not handle it well. We blew up. We yelled. We said things. We stormed out. We slammed doors. We did everything that wisdom would tell us not to do. You know what? Can I just encourage you? Can I set you free this morning? Forget what you did. How about looking forward now to the next time the correction of the rebuke comes? How can you prepare yourself today to better handle that in wisdom, in love and gratitude instead of the insult and abuse? And then finally, my simple encouragement to you to join me in asking God to give us wisdom. We want wisdom. We want to hear what wisdom has to say because it's valuable, because it's worthy. We want wisdom because with wisdom, we get wisdom's friends, and wisdom's friends are good friends. We want wisdom because we want wisdom's reward, and we read it earlier in chapter 8, and we want wisdom ultimately because we want Jesus. So Lord, our prayer this morning, our request this morning, God, give us wisdom.